Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Reading from New Scientist, the 11th of August, 2018, an article by Michael Lepage, How the Maya Met Their End. Up to around AD 750, the Mayan civilization was thriving. Dozens of monuments were being built every year in the now Mexico and Central America. By AD 1900, however, such buildings ceased altogether, and some cities in other southern lowlands were abandoned. What happened? One idea that prolonged drought was to blame, and now we have the best evidence yet that this was the case. Analysis of, quote, fossil record water, quote, shows there was half as much rain as usual between AD 800 and 1000, and that at times during the period there was 70% less rainfall. During the prolonged dry period, the gypsum may precipitate out of the lake waters and be deposited in sediments. The presence of such deposits in Lake Chicxulub in New Mexico provided the first evidence of prolonged droughts around the time of the Mayan decline. But their severity was unknown. To find out how significant they were, geochemist Nicholas Evans of the University of Cambridge and his colleague extracted some ancient waters trapped in the gypsum and analyzed its isotopic ratios. The water contained molecules that contain, say, oxygen-17 atom instead of the more common oxygen-16, are heavier and less likely to evaporate. Isn't it oxygen-18 is the major thing? That's why they probably said same. The heavy water molecules therefore accumulate in the lake during times of low rainfall and high evaporation. Although isotopic analysis has been around for decades, Evans' team had developed a method that allows simultaneous measurement of the level of all different isotopes of oxygen and hydrogen, which is mass spectrometry, I would expect. This reveals the wealth of information, rainfall, water temperature, and even humidity levels. Quote, we get a full climate picture, says Evans, who is using the technique to study past climates in many other places, and says it could even reveal what Mars used to be like. Oh dear. While this work cannot prove cause and effect, there is a growing evidence from around the world that many periods of upheavals and war coincide with climate change. The drought could have a domino effect, says Evans, with food shortages leading to unrest, warfare, and political disintegration, and the eventual downfall of the Mayan ruling elite. Quote, the changes in rainfall were considerable but not overly dramatic, says Echo Rowling of the Australian National University, who has also studied how rainfall changed at this time. Quote, in other words, they are a good illustration that no dramatic changes in climate are needed to cause enormous problems. This is truly a lesson for humanity it should learn in future. Thank you. Dark matter might be from another galaxy. It was recently revealed that in our galaxy, the Milky Way ate a so-called sausage galaxy about 10 million years ago. Now it seems the meal might make finding dark matter even harder. We can't see dark matter directly because it's invisible, but we can track the gravitational pull by following the paths of nearby stars. Lina Nekrib at the California Institute of Technology and her colleagues used the biggest ever map of stars and their velocities to do just that. The velocity map showed a population of stars in our galaxy with a weird elongated orbits. Data on their positions revealed that they have an intermediate iron contact compared with the Milky Way stars' two main populations. The stars' metal contact is dictated by its age, so these stars are younger than the halo stars from which the early Milky Way's history, but they're older than the ones in the galaxy's disk, which are born later on. This indicates these stars and their dark matter weren't born in our galaxy, but were slurped up the galactic merger. They are what is left of the sausage galaxy, so named because the stretched out orbits of the stars. Quote, this one particular merger is dominating quite a bit of the structure and quite a bit of the mass, says Nekrib. About 65% of the stars in the immediate area around the sun that weren't born here are from the sausage galaxies. Her team is working to confirm that the proportions of the dark matter came from the merger, but she says it's probably also about two-thirds. the stars are moving slower than everything else, which could make their dark matter harder to detect. High-velocity dark matter tends to be easier to see, says Andrew Buckley of Rutgers University in New Jersey. Quote, it's got more kinetic energy, so it makes a bigger bang when it enters your detector. Okay. I find that very hard to understand, because you can't detect this. AI spots vines that stop the rot ruining the wine. There's no author of this article. Artificial intelligence and photography are together helping winemakers keep their grapes free of disease. The fungus Botrytis cinna affects grapes around the world. While it can shrivel and sweeten grapes, which is welcomed in sweet wines like Sauternes, it also causes widespread losses of harvest in many wine regions. That's interesting. I wonder if that's part of sultanas. Pesticides are most common defense. Pesticides for a... Are we talking this around? A fungus. Okay. But an environmentally friendly alternative is to cultivate grapes with natural resistance, those with a waxy surface. However, manually checking the wax coverage of grapes is a laborious subject to human ever. So Volker Stanage and colleagues at the University of Bonn and Julius Kuhn at the University Institute of Bonn and the Julius Kuhn Institute of Germany created a mobile lab to automate the process. They place grapes under the light and take a series of high-resolution photographs to pick up the patterns of scattered lights, including diffuse reflections given off by the roughness of wax. Pictures are analyzed by two AI algorithms. One singles out the grape, the other determines the distribution of waxiness over the surface. Researchers trained the AI on 90 images with more than 6.5 billion labeled pixels. They took 180 images of 6 grape varieties to train and test the system. In just a few seconds, it could detect the wax distribution on a grape to an accuracy of about 95%. That's really great news. Clues to cystic fibrosis found in a new cell. A completely new type of cell has been discovered in the human airway, and it has a central role in the common genetic condition cystic fibrosis. Aaron Jaffe at the pharmaceutical company Novartis and his colleagues discovered the cell by analysing gene activity in epithelial cells, which line membranes taken from the human lungs, such as tracheas of human lungs and the tracheas of mice. They found specialized kinds of epithelial cells they named pulmonary ionocyte. The gene activity is similar to ionocytes in the frog skin and fish gills, which move ions to regulate the pH of the liquid layers next to them. The new cells make up less than 2% of all those in the airway epithelium, but they seem to maintain to be the main cell type where the gene involved in cystic fibrosis acts. The CTFR gene makes a protein that lets certain ions move in or out of cells. A variety of mutations can disable the gene or its protein, causing thick mucus and bacteria to accumulate in the lungs of people with cystic fibrosis. Known as the CFTR is active. And knowing whether the CFTR is active is an important step on the road towards new cystic fibrosis therapy, says Jaffe. Toxic millipedes, a medicine to lemurs. Lemurs have been spotted chewing on toxic millipedes and then rubbing them over their genitals and anuses. The bizarre behavior may be a way to combat parasites that would otherwise set up home in a lemur's guts. Louise Petrick of the German Patrick of the German Primate Center at Göttingen was observing red-fronted lemurs in the forest of central Madagascar, which are exposed to a range of gastrointestinal parasites. She watched as an adult female rubbed her tail, genitals, and anal regions with toxic millipedes. She was holding the lemur, then gave the millipede a quick chew before rubbing it on herself again. Over the day, five other lemurs did the same. Okay, what did she just say? I observed six doing it. Patrick thinks that they were self-medicating, smuggling their anal regions. The millipede toxins might kill parasites, helping lemurs either treat an infection or avoid contracting one. Or there might be other reasons for it. Okay. Stars has facelift to look much younger. A distant star just has undergone an explosive facelift. Martin Gurico of the Institute of Astrophysics in Andalusia in Spain and his colleagues observed a planetary nebula, a cloud of dust and gas around an aging star. Strangely, the cloud's center was cooler than the edge that was furthest from the star. The research realized that they were witnessing the aftermath of a, quote, born-again event, in which the star gets hot enough to fuse helium into carbon and expel it in a high-speed wave. This makes the star look cooler and dimmer, and thus younger. They glimpse the nebula just after the hot wave passed through it, which is why the outer part is hotter. Okay, so it's a pulse of hot waves going through it. All right, so let's see why it's necessarily a facelift. Put everything that's in. And resistant bacteria attack the subway. Each line of the Hong Kong subway system has its own bacterial community, but communities mix species across the networks every day, according to a new study. Gina Pitiago of the University of Hong Kong and his team asked volunteers to enter the city subways with clean hands and ride for 30 minutes while holding the handrails and swap their palms. Analyzing the swabs, they found the majority of microbes the volunteers picked up were common skin bacteria. In the morning rush hour, 140 species were detected but by evening, many of those no longer detectable and just 48 species covered the entire systems. The mix of microbes seen on each line in the start of the day seems to determine where it begins. The highest numbers of soil species and antibiotic resistant species were found on an uptown line and line linked to mainland China. The resistant genes carried by these bacteria were mostly against the antibiotic drugs used to treat people. But the team also detected resistance to tetracycline, which is commonly added to pig feed. The genes were mostly on the northern train lines at the start of the day, but had dispersed throughout the city by evening. A venomous snake that is doubly deadly. Fangs of Amazon puffing snake are double-edged swords. This South American tree snake has developed a venom with toxins that target different prey, one for killing small mammals, the other for targeting birds and lizards. Quote, the Amazon puffing snakes are not very good constrictors, though they're at a disadvantage, says Stephen Maxey of the University of Northern Colorado, who studied venom produced by the Spitores sulphureus. He has found that the snake's venom gives a different kind of advantage. Medisky and his team extracted venom from three of the snakes. No easy feat, as they can grow to 2.7 meters in length and their venom flows slowly. The research analyzed the toxins presence and tested those that house geckos and mice could withstand. Great, house geckos and mice, hope you're happy. They found pseudotoxin, which is highly toxic to lizards and birds, but not to mammals, even with a dose 22 times higher than it would be delivered by the bite. They also found stilmitoxin 1, which works the other way around, is lethal to animals and not to birds and lizards. While other snakes have developed specific prey neurotoxins in their venom, this is the first time such a two-fanged tactic has been shown, says Brian from the University of Queensland, Australia. Over time, the snake's prey may have be evolving resistant to venom. In turn, the snake is evolving new toxins, says Medicus. Yes, honey?
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.